Good morning again. It's great to be back in Beulah and at Prince of Peace this morning. You guys have been a key part of our ministry in Uganda over the years, and so thankful for that, and thankful too for your pastor serving with AFLC World Missions on the committee. Really thankful for his involvement there and for you, the congregation, allowing him to serve in that way. As I mentioned, we've been in Uganda just about 12 years. It was 12 years ago we were commissioned and went out that same year. We've been in Uganda serving with the Ambassador Institute there. So serving there, we work with the Ambassador Institute, which is a Bible training program. We've been training people in the Word of God and training Ugandan leaders to carry on that ministry. And there's a leadership team now in place of seven men and women who are serving in that way. And they're overseeing the teachers and the different classes in the different areas. About 40 classes are going on at this time. We also serve in our church. I'm an elder in a house church there that we attend. Serve together with three other elders, and actually we're soon to be about 10 elders. We're soon multiplying the church. The one is going to become two. That should be happening even this month in our absence. But serve there, shepherding that small congregation, which, well, I guess it's more than 100 people. It's time to multiply. Also, we've recently moved from the town of Jinja, where we had been living, north of Jinja, about a 45-minute drive, to a new community, the village of Nabukosi. And we've built a home there, and we are living among the people there and ministering there. We've started a Bible storying group, just about six to eight people every Thursday coming together just we go through one Bible story per week, and it's really exciting to see people hearing the Word of God. We recently did the story of the demon-possessed man, and one of the ladies in attendance, after hearing the story, she just shook her head and said, "The stories that are in the Bible." You know, she was just amazed. She never heard it before, but was amazed the story she was hearing from God's Word. Well, it's my privilege to share the Word with you this morning, and the passage that was, the verse that was read is where we're going to be focusing our time. Let me just read it one more time. Romans 12, verse 12. "Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer." Let's bow for prayer one more time. Spirit of God, we welcome you in this place. We know that without you, there will be only words of men and no edification. So Spirit of God, come, fall in this place, Lord, and we welcome you, and we just ask that you would give us wisdom, that you would quiet our hearts, Lord, open our hearts that we might hear and receive your word this morning. Lord, would you speak to us and encourage us and challenge us this morning? We yield this time into your hands. I yield my mind and my mouth to you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Anyone in affliction this morning? Affliction's a tough word. Hardship, trial. Anyone there today? Many kinds of affliction. Maybe it's health related. Maybe it's relationship. Maybe it's family. Maybe it's something at work. Many afflictions we pass through. Our scripture this morning says, "Be patient in affliction." It was 2016. We were building the house. We had the plan to move our family and to build a house in the village and more of a rural setting for the family, and we were full steam ahead building the house and about to move in. And I got a phone call. We had some trouble in Kampala, the capital, at immigration department, and had a lawyer friend who was helping me out with some of that, and he was the one on the phone, and he says to me, he says, "Drop what you're doing, get yourself to Kampala immediately." It was about 11 in the morning, and he said, if you don't show up before they close at 5, you will be arrested and forcefully deported from the country. We were within a week of moving into our home. And moreover, it was Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving is not celebrated in Uganda. They have kind of the British holidays. But it was Thanksgiving Day. I was not celebrating Thanksgiving because the final crunch to get things done to move into the house. I was on the work site. So that was, anyway, some of the backstory. Some of you have heard some of it. To be in Uganda as a foreigner, you need to have a work permit through the immigration department, which is not a big deal. And in my routine renewal of the work permit, my work permit was rejected. We filed an appeal asking them to reconsider giving us a work permit. And anyway, when you file an appeal, you also submit your passport to the immigration department, because if the appeal is rejected, you're deported from the country. And so we lived like this. It was over 2 years that we waited for the appeal to be finalized, and all the while expecting any time that it would be approved, because there was no basis for not renewing our work permit. Well, as it turns out, I'll call him an enemy of the gospel, who was working behind the scenes with the higher officials at Internal Affairs to try to get us kicked out of the country. And so, anyway, by the time on this particular day, we had already received a work permit, and we had already celebrated getting our work permit. And so when I got to Kampala, they told me the work permit you obtained illegally, and it's invalid. And because you've obtained an illegal work permit, we're giving you 7 days to leave the country. In fact, 7 days from now, next Thursday, you expect to report back here first thing in the morning with your bags packed and your air ticket purchased, and you will be personally escorted to Entebbe Airport and put on the plane never to come back to Uganda. Those are the words I heard Thanksgiving 2016, a week before moving into our new house that we've been working almost a year to build. Affliction, it comes in different sizes and shapes, and it comes to you as it comes to us. It's not just in Uganda. It comes to everyone in some form or another in different times. But the scripture tells us to be patient in affliction. Is that easy to do? I think naturally, patience isn't probably the first response, right? But probably anxiety or worry or doubt or fear. Those are more natural responses, right? But faith says, God, you got this. You're in control. You're over all of this. And God, I know I can trust you. And so the scripture tells us to be patient in affliction. Not only that, just before that it says, be joyful in hope. Be joyful in hope. You know, many times in the scriptures, when it talks about trial or tribulation or trouble, joy is always put with it. Have you noticed that? Consider it pure joy, my brothers, when you face trials. Well, here it is again. Be joyful in hope. Be patient in affliction. What does it mean to be joyful in hope? What hope do we have as disciples of Jesus? I think the biggest hope we have is that God is in control, and that God is all-powerful, God is almighty, and he's over all. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, right? That means he has authority over everything. I mean, it's illustrated in the scriptures. You know, when we do the Bible story, we've been emphasizing in the Gospels, and story after story, Jesus is emphasizing his authority. He has authority over the spiritual realm. You know, the demon-possessed man story, I love that story. You know, here's this guy who's been crying out in the hills, slashing himself with stones, right? Nobody gets any sleep in the whole surrounding area because of the ruckus the guy is making. And Jesus steps out of the boat, and what does he do? He comes running to Jesus. You think, oh, wow, there's going to be a confrontation. Why is he coming running? He's coming running to bow himself down on the ground before the King of Kings. And he says, please have mercy on me. Don't throw us out of the region. This was a legion of demons possessing the man. Jesus has all authority. And even when they wanted to go into the pigs, remember the story? It says they asked Jesus, can we go into the pigs? Don't send us out of the area. It says Jesus gave them permission. Who's the boss? Jesus is the boss. He has control over the physical. You know, look at the story of the disciples in the boat. You know, he had just fed the 5,000. That's his authority over the physical realm, right? Multiplying bread and fish to feed 5,000 plus women and children, right? Immediately afterwards, he sends the disciples across the lake. He stays to pray. And what happens? You know, these are seasoned fishermen about to drown, their boat about to capsize. And Jesus again shows them, I have authority over everything. You know, they're amazed at the end. Even the wind and the waves obey Jesus. Can you believe it? Jesus has all authority. And that's a comfort to us. Because even the trouble you're facing, Jesus has authority over it. Whether it's physical, whether it's spiritual, anyway, they're intertwined, and Jesus has all authority over it. And that gives us hope, doesn't it? That gives us hope, because we're not alone. And Jesus is with us, and he has the authority to overcome whatever. How can we be joyful in hope? His plans are good. You know, you might think, well, I could be joyful in hope if I didn't have all this trouble. Well, it's not like that. Joyful in hope is in the midst of the trouble, right? In the midst of the hardship, God is very near. His plans are good, and we can trust him. And the scripture reminds us that the real life is yet to come. Our ultimate hope is not for, you know, a cush life here, is it? Our ultimate hope is for the life that's coming. And what a reminder, as Pastor Al Munson has just gone home to glory yesterday, our hope is not in this life. Our true hope is in the life to come. And the scripture reminds us of that. 1 Peter 1:13 exhorts us, set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. When will Jesus Christ be revealed? That's at the end of time, right? And Peter exhorts us, set your hope fully on that. The grace that's coming our way when Jesus comes back. That's what we should set our hope on. Or again, 1 Corinthians 15:19, if only for this life we have hope, we are of all men most to be pitied. Paul lived his life such that he was investing in the life to come consistently. If only in this life we have hope, and we do have hope in this life, but if it's only in this life, we are to be pitied more than all men. Because our real hope is in eternal life and the life that's coming. I love the promise of Scripture. Scripture doesn't promise us no affliction. It doesn't promise us no trial. In fact, it promises the opposite. Affliction and trial will come. But it also promises God's presence with us in the midst of it. I love the Scripture in Isaiah 43. Let me read it for you, starting in verse 1. But now this is what the Lord says, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isn't that beautiful? Oh, I love those verses. It doesn't say if you walk through the fire, it says when you walk through the fire. What's the promise? I will be with you. And that's a comfort. That gives us hope, doesn't it? That when we face affliction in this life, God is right there with us. And God uses that, doesn't he? He uses affliction to mold us and to shape us, to humble us, to cause us to depend on him more. You know, the Lees will be in Brazil by the end of the month, is that right? You know, that kind of transition there's affliction involved. I mean, it's a challenge. The whole life is upside down for you and the kids, and you know, new culture, new people, everything. And but in the midst of that, God is very near, and cry out to Him, and I know you'll find Him. And you know, many afflictions in life and challenges that we face. God is good, and that gives us hope. God is love. You know, we have friends in Uganda. While they were dating and engaged to be married, they decided to adopt 5 children. 5 children had recently been orphaned, you know, from about, 2 years old up till early teenagers. And so, I mean, they jumped into serious parenthood right off the bat. But their first biological child, they named her Sheila. And she has a genetic condition where she's now 3 years old and has already exceeded her life expectancy. She's had a lot of medical challenges. But you know, we've been walking with that family as they have, you know, as, you know, they're tempted to say, God, where are you? Why would you do this? This is so painful to see our daughter suffering. It's so painful. God, are you love? Are you good? But to see them walk through that experience and to hold on to the truth that yes, God is good. And yes, God is love. And yes, there is pain and the world is broken. But God uses the pain and the sorrow and the suffering for our molding. And yes, indeed, our hope is in the life to come. Our ultimate hope is to be with Jesus. God is good. God is love. God is faithful. God is patient and compassionate. Do you believe it? That faith in believing that God is who He is where the joy comes from. In the midst of it, say, God, you know, like, you know, the situation with the phone call that I got on that day. You know, come to Uganda. If you don't, you're going to be deported from the country. I was sitting there. First of all, I was just in shock. Like, okay, I thought we were done with this. You know, we'd just gotten a work permit a few weeks before. And I thought we were done with it. I finally thought we'd finally push through. And I was just in shock. Like, I mean, I'm looking at the house that's just, you know, getting painted and just the final things, you know. And then I remembered something. Today's Thanksgiving. You know what the scripture says, don't you? Give thanks when things are going great, right? No! Give thanks in all situations. And that scripture, it came to my mind at that moment. Like, okay, God, I get it. You want me to give thanks even in this situation? After all, it's Thanksgiving Day. And I'm being told I'm being deported from the country. And I said, okay, God, there's nothing I can do. You know, I mean, the officials involved within immigration, I mean, were some of the very top officials. And like, you know, how am I going to oppose them? How am I going to convince them to give me a work permit? But I said, God, okay, you're in control. I'll trust you with this. I mean, there's no real point in getting uptight about it. There's nothing I can do anyway if we're, you know, if you're closing the door in Uganda, I know you'll open another door. I don't see it right now. It'll be a lot of pain and loss. But God, I know you'll open another door. And so, God, I'll trust you even with this one. And you know, I made my way to Kampala, reached before they closed at 5, and by the end of the day, I'd signed myself bond that I would present myself the following Thursday for deportation. Well, I got to finish the story because obviously we're still in Uganda. The next morning, Friday morning, I called a couple of friends of mine to come together just to pray and to think about, you know, what are we supposed to do now? One was Bishop Chinene, one was Benji Majors, and another young man, and we prayed together. And that's the last part here, isn't it? Be faithful in prayer. Because when you pray, you're saying, God, I'm handing this over to you. Isn't that what prayer is? Saying, God, you see all of this? God, here, you're the one. You're the one who can handle this. You're the one who can make sense of it. You're the one who can, you know, make good out of this. And you know, God, your will be done. I mean, that's what prayer is, isn't it? And that's what we did that morning. And we decided we were going to send, I wasn't going to go to Kampala, but we were going to send some people to Kampala on my behalf. Mufumbiro, one of the Ambassador Institute people, was available, and he went to Kampala, and he tells an amazing story. On the way to Kampala, they were going to meet with a certain person, and as they were going, it was him and another fellow. And as they were going to this one, they said, you know what, I think we should probably check with this office first and see if that person might be in the office. Well, they ended up in the office of an army lady named, what we affectionately call her, Commander Amanda. Because in African English, commander, you say commander, so it rhymes with Amanda. Her name is Amanda, but we call her Commander Amanda. And, you know, her office is nothing glamorous. In fact, I think it's called the complaint desk. But she was placed in that office by President Museveni, the president of Uganda, and her job was to kind of clean up some of the corruption within internal affairs. So they start telling her about my situation, and she was aghast. Like, how can, you know, an American citizen with his family, with his six children, I don't have eight yet. I knew there's eight people in my family. With his six kids, you know, because I was being accused of terrorism and having guns and all this kind of stuff. And she's like, what in the world? So she thought maybe they're making it up. She started making phone calls within, you know, to other offices, and she found out this is all true. Because everybody knew of my situation by this time. And she couldn't believe it. And so, anyway, to shorten a very long story, God used Commander Amanda to go to the minister. The minister, he's the minister over all of internal affairs of Uganda. She's in and out of his office throughout the day, explained the situation to him, and he was the top guy over the ministry and over all of immigration. And he gave the decree that my work permit should be granted. Praise God. God did it. We were totally at the end of our rope. Nothing more we could do. And, you know, by the time my 7 days were over, that deportation order had been canceled. And it was a matter of time before my work permit was granted again. In fact, I met the minister. He wanted to meet me in person just before Christmas that year. The minister invited me into his office. We sat together and chatted for about 15 minutes. And he even apologized for what some of the people in the ministry had done against me. So anyway, I share that as a story of how God acted in a very powerful way on our behalf. And, you know, I want to emphasize this final point. Be faithful in prayer. And I'm telling you, none of that would have happened without the faithfulness of God's people in prayer. And that includes many of you. At this time, the leaders of the Ambassador Institute in Uganda, they called for prayer meetings. Tracy, she gathered the teachers of Jinja Zone, fasting and prayer and beseeching the Lord on my behalf. Musasizi is the chairman of Ambassador Institute. He didn't hardly sleep for a week, as night and day he was beseeching the throne of God on our behalf. You know, he said, you know, these are the people who brought God's word to us. How can our government treat them like common criminals and kick them out? This isn't right. God, we call on you to do something. Our prayer secretary, Bhagatia, it's his routine practice to wake up at 3 in the morning and pray till daylight. That's not very long at this time of year here, but in Uganda, that's up until about 6:30 in the morning. But a prayer warrior. I mean, he prays like he breathes. It's just so natural. I've not met a prayer like him, and it's through much pain and suffering that he's learned to pray. And then, folks back here, you know, we were keeping everybody up to speed on our Facebook page, and people prayed. People back here in the States, they prayed. They gathered together and lifted us up before the Lord. And we saw God act. I mean, we came right down to the wire, and God moved, and God acted. And you know, the scripture says, be faithful in prayer. And prayer, again, is saying, God, this is beyond me. And I think, anyway, it's good when we get to that point. We should probably get there a lot quicker than we do. But say, God, this is beyond me. Can you, let me hand this to you, please. God, will you take over? Because I've reached the end of my rope. After God had acted on our behalf, I love the, there several of the Psalms really meant a lot to the leadership team of Ambassador Institute. I just want to share a couple of them with you. Psalm 124. And just think of this in light of the story I've just shared. If the Lord had not been on our side, let Israel say, if the Lord had not been on our side when men attacked us, when their anger flared against us, they would have swallowed us alive. The flood would have engulfed us. The torrents would have swept over us. The raging waters would have swept us away. Praise be to the Lord, who has not let us be torn by their teeth. We have escaped like a bird out of the fowler's snare. The snare has been broken, and we have escaped. Our help is in the name of the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. And then again, Psalm 126. When the Lord brought back the captives to Zion, we were like men who dreamed. Our mouths were filled with laughter, our tongues with songs of joy. Then it was said among the nations, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, and we are filled with joy. Restore our fortunes, O Lord, like streams in the Negev. Those who sow in tears will reap in songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying seed to sow, will return with songs of joy, carrying sheaves with him. Oh, I love those psalms. I'm just an expression. I mean, these are people who've been through the affliction and are coming out the other side. I mean, I love that picture. We were like people who dreamed, like, is this really happening? You know, could this be possible? And just the result and praise to God and the joy of the Lord. And that was really our experience in Uganda corporately as, you know, as the people of Ambassador Institute. Is trouble causing worry and fear in your life today? Does the word peace and joy, does that describe you? Peace and joy are a gift from God, and he wants to give them. God encourages us, come to me, trust in me, I can handle this, I can handle what's concerning you today. And I would encourage each of us today to hand over to the Lord and to let him work on our behalf. I want to close with a verse from Romans, another verse from Romans, Romans 15, verse 13. It says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's my prayer for us today, that the God of hope would fill each of us with his joy and peace as we trust in him. That we would overflow with hope today by the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that you are a God who loves us. You are a God that we can trust You're a God who is a good father to us. And God, we rejoice in that, and we thank you. And Lord, we declare together today, Lord, we believe you, we trust you. Lord, we want to entrust to you, Lord, all of the burdens, the trials, the hardships, the afflictions that we're passing through today. Lord, for we know that you care and that you're able. So Lord, I pray for the folks here today, Lord, that you would surround them with your love. Lord, that you, God of peace, God of joy, that you would come. God of all hope, give us your hope and your peace and your joy this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.